Hebrews 13, verses 2 through 6. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Once we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're born of God. We are infused with God's life. God's life comes into us. We call it, and so does the Lord Jesus, being born again. Now we have this new life. So we're given the responsibility to live the Christian life. We do what we do because of who we are. It's not acting. It's real. Because he changes our life. And when we have a tendency sometimes to be ornery and mean, we're not ornery and we're not mean, we're kind. When we have a tendency to be stingy, we're not stingy, we're very generous. We have a tendency that flesh to be angry, we're not angry, we're kind. We're people of peace. That's amazing. That's a transformation. But here, the writer of Hebrews is going through some characteristics of what Christians are to be. Characteristics that should mark those who belong to Jesus Christ. We talked about the first one last week, about loving each other. I love that old song, it makes you love everybody. And the Lord Jesus will do that. When our life is changed, it will motivate us to love each other. And the little formula to remember is, the more we grow to love Jesus Christ, then it follows the more we're going to love each other. We're going to look beyond, many times, our faults, the pressures that we bring on other people's life, and sometimes we can be ornery, but it changes our love for each other. And we're going to talk about today, real quickly, three other characteristics that it changes. How are we to do ministry, first of all? Secondly, marriage. And third, money. Ministry, marriage, and money. Those are three characteristics, how we think about those things is very, very important. And before we look into the passage, just briefly, would you bow with me in prayer? Father, would you open our mind to the truth of the text that's before us? And Father, we're grateful for your divine seed, your word, that we put it in our mind and some wonderful things begin to happen as we learn it, because then we begin to live it, and that's the end of it all. And Father, thank you for our time today, in Jesus' name, amen. First, our ministry. Look in verse 2. He says, do not forget to entertain strangers. Now, that's hospitality. People who come to your home or people that you come in contact with. To entertain, to be hospitable to strangers. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Wow. what in the world is he talking about there? Well, I think he has in mind, remember Abraham back in Genesis 18, when he was leaning against the pole of his tent, and three men came walking up, and we know two of them were angels. They just happened by to check on old Abraham. Of course, he did the right thing. He was very hospitable to those angels. Now, it could mean that someone may come to your home one day in human form, but really be one of God's angels. That is a possibility. That's a possible interpretation of the text. I don't want to leave that out. But the word angels is the Greek word angelos, and it means messenger. And if we read this over in Revelation chapter 2, we begin to study those churches of the Revelation. And every church begins, to the messenger at the church at Ephesus, to the messenger at the church of Laodicea, and so on and so forth. Talking about there, pastors. Why are we called messengers? Well, we give you a message. We communicate the message of the Word of God to you, so we're messengers. And there are teachers being used of God who are messengers. And the truth is, in the ancient world, there were not many hotels. There weren't many Marriotts. You didn't find them anywhere. Holiday Inns, weren't any. They had what we call inns, but they were very sparse and long way from each other, and many times flea infested. And people used it to find the inns that had the least fleas. That's what you look for when you were traveling. So believers began to take care of other believers. Believers had a short list of people that they could go by and have a meal, could go by and find a place to sleep, a place to stay. And that's what he's getting at here. Just be hospitable to one another. As Michael said this morning, you're communicating Jesus Christ when you do that. And you're communicating his love when you do that. Now, the moral of that is, feed the preacher when he comes to see you. No, I'm not. That's not true. That is not true. That's not what I'm talking about. It's with each other. It's with each other. And even strangers that come into your home. I know we live in a world today where it's not easy to do that. It's hard to trust people, isn't it? Especially people who come into your home that you don't know. But Jesus Christ said himself, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you have done ministry. How simple is that? But that's the point there. That's how we do ministry. That's how we show hospitality. And then he continues here. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. We don't have many prisoners around Glendale. I've noticed that, haven't you? I don't know anybody walking around with a ball and chain here. We don't have many prisoners. Now, I'm not talking about married couples. God is a sovereign God. And remember, he's causing all things to work together for the good of those who love him and his ultimate glory. So sometimes the jail is the place that people end up. And prison is the place that they end up in God's sovereign will. And those people are looking for Jesus Christ many times. Many times they heard the gospel when they were small, and God has to put them in a place where they reach the bottom. But, Bruce, you could identify with this. But they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear about God's love. So if you have an opportunity to go to the jail and share your faith, share your testimony, share the good news of Jesus Christ, do it. That's the way you share the good news. And like I said, sometimes you might find a believer there, most likely one of my converts, in jail, of course, but who need a word of encouragement. who need to remember that, hey, God loves me. Even here, God loves me. And he's the great genius. He can use you in a fantastic way. Right there. And then it goes on. This is an amazing thing. It says, those who are mistreated. Man. This opens up a world to us. And I think of nursing homes when I see this. Now, I'm not saying that all nursing homes mistreat their patients. That's not true. There are some good and godly nursing homes. But sometimes the elderly people don't see it that way. And they grow a little ornery. And many at times there are believers in that mix. And a lot of times there are unbelievers in that mix. You say an unbeliever who's 85 years old? Absolutely. Never really heard the gospel. Or maybe a person 85 years old who heard the gospel back when they were a child at the local church in Vacation Bible School. 80 years ago they heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That God loved them, sent his son to die on the cross for their sin, was buried, rose again the third day. They heard that. That if they would trust him, they could have life, but they kind of put it back in their on the back burner of their mind. They're young. Maybe there was a teenager when they heard that. But now they're in a nursing home. So when we have an opportunity to share Jesus Christ, what should we do? We should give them our very best shot at sharing the gospel, the good news. We don't go in with the attitude, well, they're old and they don't listen anyway. Half of them are asleep. They don't care. Probably medicated beyond consciousness. We don't do that. This is God's business, not ours. So we go in there. That's what I do, folks. I go in there. I give them my best shot. I want my very best to be placed on display for them. Because I have a feeling, see, that powerful seed, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. And that power works in the nursing home. I have to believe that when I give the gospel, something's going to happen. Now, I can't see it all the time, but something's going to happen. So I share Christ, Bruce. I make it clear, make it plain. One day, you might be there. And you'll want a word of encouragement. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Now here's what he's saying. There are people there who know Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches about a universal church. Now, universal churches meet in local assemblies. That's what we are here. But there are believers all over the city. And they're members of, I know. There are members of other churches who are saved. Trust me. They are. And there are members of other churches who are being taught the Word of God. Maybe not like you, but they are. Trust me. But they need encouragement. That's the point. Because we belong to them. And they're tied to us as members of the body of Christ, so we want to give them our best. What I'm saying is I don't throw something together just to go in there and entertain them. I don't do that. I work hard to try to keep them doing that. I want to say something that they appreciate, because I know that many of them are believers, strong believers. And many of them know the Word of God probably better than I do. I keep that in my mind too. Well, let's move quickly. Good night, I have 5 minutes. Here we go. Marriage is honorable. First ministry, then marriage. Marriage is honorable among all. Now here's his point. Here's the writer's point. God gave marriage to the entire human race, not just to believers. It does two things. It's the way to procreate the race. But secondly, it's the basis for the home. For the home, which prevents sexual abuse. Marriage. Marriage. And it says, and the bed undefiled. God is the one who invented sex, not man. And sex is a beautiful way to magnify Jesus Christ. I know it's a touchy subject, and I know we live in a society where there's free love, and I know sexual promiscuity is being spewed from the podiums of schools all across America. I know that. And I know we're experiencing a sexual revolution. I know that. I'm not asleep. But there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. He goes on, look at this. He says, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Now, fornicators here is illicit sex among unbelievers. Just debauchery among unbelievers. Adultery can be unbelievers or believers involved in adulterous relationships. And we see an epidemic of that all around us right now. Christian pastors being lured away, slipping up. Many of them will not be heard from again. They mess up. They're out of the ministry. We see it. We see it everywhere. It's around us. We live with it. But there's a price to pay. And I think judgment many times comes that God, he says here, watch, he says, God will judge. And I think a lot of that is right here in this life. Through guilt. There's guilt that comes into the heart and mind of people who involve themselves in that. This is not judgment someday. It's judgment that comes now. And it's interesting that the word adultery here means watered down. You water down a marriage. And the way to think about this, I do, it's so simple for me. My mind has to have something simple to go to. My marriage is best typified by Jesus Christ and His church. When the Bible says we become one flesh, my wife and I, one body, we become one, just like Jesus Christ and His body on the earth. How do I want my body treated? Very well, thank you very much. And what about a believer who involves themselves in an adulterous relationship? This is the way I think about this. Paul says, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in me. So whatever I subject my body to, I subject God the Holy Spirit to. He makes the trip. He makes the trip with me. So that motivates me to keep myself pure. Because God lives in me to give myself a pure lifestyle. Finally, money. Verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man does. Or what can man do to me? Here's what he's saying. Now the word covetousness here, it has to do with marriage. We're not to covet another man's wife or vice versa. I mean, it stays right in the flow of the context. But it's also talking about money, stuff, pouring my life into stuff, material possessions, thinking that material possessions can really make me happy. And there's a satiable appetite in many for more what? Money. If I could just have this job to make this money, then I would be happy. Nothing could be further from the truth. As far as an unbeliever is concerned, in Luke 12, remember that little parable that Jesus gave of the man who was wealthy, and he says, I'm going to go out and buy all these fields and store up all this grain, and there's never enough. And then the response was, you fool, today your soul will be required of you. And it's going to be somebody else's what? Stuff. You leave it all. Why pour your life into something that's going to belong to somebody else anyway? That's why I tell people often here, we're not pouring our money and our heart into material possessions like buildings and beautiful fixtures and furniture, and because it's going to be gone one day. We pour our lives into people. That's the important part. People is what's important to us, not money. Not money. Scripture says that the inordinate love, the inordinate passion for material possessions, for money, becomes the basis, the root for all kinds of evil. Now, it doesn't say that money's the root of all evil. It says that desire, that love for, that passion for stuff becomes the root for all kinds of problems. It stirs up all kinds of problems. Even in the local church, it stirs up all kinds of problems. There is a tremendous benefit for us being poor. Now, don't look at me like that. There's a tremendous benefit in that. We get a chance to see God work week after week after week because He generously provides what we need. And we all have needs here, do we not? He creates those needs because ultimately it brings us to our knees. It brings us to Him so He can provide for us. What about that? Isn't that amazing? But then He finishes here, and I want us to close right here. He says, here's the reason that we're not to become covetous. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Boy, I love that. That's the one promise I can hold on to. I mean, I'm not a complicated person. I can hold on to that. I mean, if things get rough in my home financially, God says, I'm not going to drop you. I never have. I'm going to meet your needs. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to abandon you. And I have to be call myself to that here at the local church. You know, when things are not going well financially, we say, Lord, but He says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And we can say, well, what can men do to us? God will protect us. He'll take care of us. He'll meet our needs. So here's the point. Ministry, do ministry. Marriage, think well of it. And money, use it well. Use it right. Use it to magnify Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time today. Thank You for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Thank You for that time to call us back into fellowship with Christ. And Father, thank You for the reminder of our ministry and what we're called to. Thank You for the reminder of our marriage and our one flesh relationship to our spouse. And thank you for the reminder that fornicators and adulterers are going to be judged. And also, Father, we thank you for that reminder of you, our use of money. We're not to be covetous people. We're not to covet the wealth that someone else has. We're not to allow that to just dominate our thinking, to dominate our lives. But be content with what you've given us, meager as it might be, because you have promised us that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Father, I know that there have been many words said. Would you put the words in the thinking of those here that you have designed for that word to be in? And would you use it to magnify Jesus Christ? And Father, I pray that if there be someone here who has never trusted Christ, that you would draw them to yourself and give them life. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.